Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. The Elite Eight. We'll tip off in about 75 minutes. We'll get to the games tonight and tomorrow. We'll let you know our official Final Four picks. Are any of your Final Four teams still in it? Oh, you got Arkansas still. Arkansas, they got to beat Baylor. And you got Gonzaga. So you still got a couple of teams in it.
And I almost had Alabama. I almost had three of them, but not to be last night because UCLA in the best game of the tournament took care of them in overtime.
Rob, you're Loyola Chicago. They shot 19% in the first half. Difficult to advance if you're not going to shoot the ball very well. The Pac-12 Tournament of Champions. They have advanced. Before we talk about other things, I want to share something with you guys that maybe you didn't know. Rob, hit my music. There are two spring training leagues, right? There's the Grapefruit League. That's in Florida.
Yeah.
Then there's the Cactus League.
Where's that one?
That's in Arizona.
Oh.
You want to know who won the Cactus League this year?
Yeah.
Take a guess.
Cincinnati Reds.
The Kansas City Royals Cactus League. They didn't even win the Cactus League back in 2015. They didn't even win the Cactus League back in 2014. The positive vibes, the positive juju are raining down on this team. There's still time for you to get on this Hope Harrison wagon. For some reason, you're fighting it. You're like a kid where it's clear that you're tired and you need to just take a nap, but for some reason you want to be up with the adults.
FOMO.
Just go to sleep. Just take a nap. I'm telling you that this Royals train is coming in hot.
All this talk, we're about maybe 2,000 feet away from a rally house. Where's your Cactus League Champions t-shirt?
I got to go get it after work. They just won it.
Oh, okay.
I haven't had the opportunity to purchase one yet.
Oh, okay. All right. I bet you don't have one at the end of the week. If you do, I'll shut up.
I mean, that's what the CNC dot stands for. Oh, Cactus dot.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you here.
All right.
Get on board.
I'm trying to get on board. I just don't think they're going to win, 78 games or go to the playoffs like some people do. I think they're going to be much better. I just can't lie to myself.
Rob, that's all. I just wanted to share that with you guys. Royals, Cactus League champions. Do you think they'll hang a banner up next to the 85 and 15? World Series?
Yeah,
banners?
We should have a parade.
They want on a walk-off, too.
I mean, if we're going to have a parade, you need to bring your vaccination card. If you're not on shot two, then you don't need to come. But if they wanted to have a ceremony before opening day to celebrate their Cactus League champion, I'd be for it. This is an accomplishment. Anytime you can win a championship, that means something. And they won the Cactus League championship.
Remember what it really...
I mean, the White Sox were in the Cactus League. They didn't win it. They went 12-11. They're barely over 500. They finished three games back. How do we know this momentum won't carry them to the playoffs? How do we know?
How many teams that ever went on and won the Cactus League went on to win the World Series?
I don't know.
Zero.
There's no way you know.
I don't. I made that up completely.
Well, because last year the Dodgers won the Cactus League.
Is that right?
So take that. The Dodgers won it last year.
Is that true?
Yes, they went 13-7 in the Cactus League. What happened with the Dodgers last year? Sports machine.
They
won the World Series, didn't they?
Yeah.
Blew up in your face, didn't it?
Yeah, no, as long as you win.
Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
As long as you win the Cactus League, that means you're going to win the World Series.
Obviously.
Right. Yeah, obviously.
That's not a stat. That's not a streak.
No, it is. Every time, at least the last time that somebody won the Cactus League, they went on to also win the World Series.
Okay, that's all I'm trying to tell you guys.
And their jerseys are very similar.
That's all. Exactly.
Okay.
LAKC, two letters.
Yeah.
I mean, they're almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me right now, if you had a choice between Brady Singer and Clayton Kershaw, you taking Kershaw? He old.
Did you say Clayton Kershaw, CK, KC?
That's why I'm here, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just here trying to tell you guys the news.
Stop.
And y'all fighting the news. Why would you fight the news? That's the problem right now, man. The media tries to control the narrative. You're selling fake news. I'm trying to sell real news here. That's what I'm doing. I'm in the business of selling you guys real news. And the real news is the Royals are champions today. Rob, let's get to the top stories in Kansas City. Cactus League champ.
From the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Can I ask you guys a random question that just popped in my head?
Sure.
Are there any other words in that song, The Final Countdown, other than him just saying Final Countdown? Because I don't know any of the other
it's
words.
The.
I've never heard any of the other songs. It just feels like they just talk until Final Countdown. It's like Trap Queen. I don't know any of the other words other than the Trap Queen part.
It's more about the beat than it is the lyrics, in my opinion.
Does anybody dislike The Final Countdown? That might be a song that gets 100% approval. There's very few songs that everybody loves, but that might be the song that everybody loves. Like, how can you hear that song out? And you're just like, turn this off. It's the final countdown. Doo-doo-doo-doo. What an amazing tune.
I mean, it ain't like Juvie back that ass up or anything. I'll change the channel for Final Countdown. It's not that good.
I've never done that before.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, the biggest news in Kansas City is the Chiefs have a new defensive tackle. Jaron Reed signed a one-year, $5 million contract with the team, adding a pass rusher to the fold.
Cactus League bringing in players that want to be here in Kansas City.
Carrington, do you like the move for the Kansas City Chiefs adding Jaron Reed to the fold?
Yeah, I am under the belief that there's no bad one-year contract, especially if we're talking about a one-year, $5 million deal, and I'm going to guess that the cap hit isn't going to count for the $5 million. So that's number one. If you look at when he played his best football, it was in 2018. He played alongside Frank Clark. When did Frank Clark play his best football? It was in 2018. He played alongside Jaron Reed. And you guys know, on my checklist, third pass rusher or third veteran defensive lineman was very high on my list. Tano Passanio just signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints. I also think this is an upgrade over Alex Okafor. I do think that when it came to Melvin Ingram, I think Ingram wants to sign a multi-year deal and Kansas City only wants to do the one, and they decided this was the better option. I like this signing for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Low risk, high reward, 19 sacks over the last 3 years. As CDOT points out, a couple of years ago in 18, playing alongside Frank Clark, had a career year. Combined that one season, they had 24 sacks. If you can catch lightning in a bottle again and get 24 sacks from those guys combined, plus whatever Chris Jones and the rest of the pass rush gets you, then the Chiefs are going to have one of the best pass rushes in all of football. How could you not like this move? Essentially, the last 3 years, numbers very similar to Frank Clark, except paying Frank Clark $20 million. You're paying this dude $5, $6 million. I'm all about what they did today.
Two.
The other big local news story in Kansas City is that over the weekend, the Royals announced that second baseman Nicky Lopez would start this season in Triple A Omaha.
How is this a bigger hit than them winning the Cactus League?
I mean, we already did the Cactus League thing. Now on to Nicky Lopez.
We need to do it multiple times.
Sean, you've been down on this lineup because of the hole based around Nicky Lopez, but with him starting the year in AAA and Whit Merrifield presumably becoming the everyday second baseman, do you now like this lineup more than this time Friday?
Yeah, of course. How could I not? My biggest problem was at the very bottom with Nicky Lopez and Michael A. Taylor, who combined might hit 350. And I'm one of those guys is in the minors. And I think that Nicky Lopez at some point is probably going to be back up here. And if he's not here, he's going to be back up in the big leagues with somebody. He serves a purpose. All I'm saying is at the bottom of a lineup, every couple of innings, you cannot just give up three outs. And we know at some point, Mondesi's going to go into a slump. We know that Michael A. Taylor's barely a 200 career hitter. And Nicky Lopez is hitting like a buck 15 so far this spring. So they had to do something. See that you were talking about earlier, this is a move that indicates the Royals are trying to win. To me, this is a move that indicates they didn't really have any other option. Like, if you're hitting 200 at the big league level for 550 at-bats, you're gone, man.
Rob, turn this music off. Can I share something with you guys? Rob, hit my music. How can you not buy into this lineup? So this was their lineup today. The Cactus League Championship lineup today. You got to put your big guns out there when you're going for a title. When you're going for a ring, you know that. Listen to their lineup today.
I don't think they give you a ring, but go on.
Whit Merrifield at second base, batting leadoff. Prototypical leadoff hitter. You love Whit. He's always going to give you that professional AB. Andrew Benintendi in left field. You love his swing. Guy that can hit 300 for this team. Great on base percentage.
I haven't said anything yet.
Adalberto Mondesi at shortstop, hitting third.
Talk him up.
Carlos Maria Santana hitting fourth, playing first base for this team. Gonna give you that same professional AB, gonna hit for power, gonna drive runs home, gonna walk and have a high on base percentage. Future statue, future Royals Hall of Famer. You think the second best Royal to ever live and put on the uniform, Salvador Perez, hitting fifth. Happy that he just got that new money coming in. So you know Salvi going to be an extra good move. Jorge Soler, arguably the best power hitter in the American League. Jorge Soler power hitting DH for this team, hitting sixth. And then you go down to that 7-8-9 and that punch down there. Hunter Dozier hitting seventh. You're telling me the Royals at seventh could have a guy like Hunter Dozier who could play multiple positions, who could hit between 270 and 290 with a little bit of pop? He's hitting seventh for this team. Kyle Isbell, talking a 26-year-old rookie, finally getting his shot, hungry, ready to prove something. And then Michael A. Taylor, who might be the best defensive center fielder in all of the game. That's their lineup. You're telling me that you can't get on board with this team winning 77 games? You telling me you can't buy into that lineup? And I ain't even got to the pitching yet. You're telling me you can't buy into this team maybe shocking the world?
Are you going to lie to us about the pitching, too? Because if you are, I'll just cut you off now. Because, I mean, I respect our listeners.
They got a lot of arms.
I love our
listeners.
You just lied to our listeners is what you did. And I appreciate your optimism.
What's wrong with that lineup? That's a good lineup.
Again, when you were talking about Whit Merrifield, professional at bat, all these things, I didn't say anything. When you talk about Benintendi, he can hit 300. You got the sweet swing. I didn't say anything. And then I noticed you just kind of brushed over Mondesi. You didn't really say anything about him.
We don't know yet, one way or the other.
And then when it came to Santana, you talked about the wrong Santana. And then when you talked about Salvi, you said that he's going to have a better season because he just got paid. That usually doesn't happen. And then when it came to Dozier, you said he's going to hit between 270 and 290 when his career season is 270 and his career average is right around like 250. And then you brought up Michael A. Taylor, who you know damn well is a good fielder, but he's not going to win a Gold Glove. He's not the best outfielder in baseball. So I appreciate your optimism. I'm not trying to burst your bubble, but I just want to bring you back down to earth a little bit. There's a lot of question marks with that lineup that you just gave us. A lot of question marks.
I don't really think there's a lot of question marks, honestly.
You said Jorge Soler might be the best power hitter in the American
League. All right. We know he's not that. But he's a guy who's shown you that he can hit nearly 50 home runs. He's shown that before.
How many guys?
Hunter Dozier. Last time it was a healthy year, he hit 279.
How many guys are you for sure what you're going to get in that lineup? Because that's what it comes down to. It's not how good can they be when they're at their best. It's how much are they at their average. Whit Merrifield. You know that he's an all-star caliber player. Are you sure you know what Andrew Benintendi is?
I think he's going to have a good season. I'm not sure.
Are you sure you know what Adalberto Mondesi is?
No, I don't think anybody knows.
Are you sure that Santana, is he going to be the guy that hit 20 home runs or 50 home runs? Same thing with Soler.
I'm actually pretty confident in Santana this year.
There's just a wide gap for a lot of these guys. Like, even though I haven't seen a lot of these young pitchers, I've got more confidence in the pitching than I do the lineup. Like, I feel like Brady Singer, if he's just a little bit improved from what he was as a rookie, then he's going to have like a 3.5 ERA and just be an innings eater. If Brad Keller looks anything like he did last year, tack on another half a run, then he'll have a 2.97 ERA and a great strike to walkout ratio. Like when it comes to the pitching and even a couple of the guys in the bullpen, I feel like I know a little bit more than I do the lineup. The lineup certainly has upside, but it's far from the sure thing you're making it out to be.
I'm on the road to 77. Are you on there?
No.
Are you on the road to 77?
No. You had to pull my arm to get me to say 75.
You're a grown man. I ain't got to pull your arm.
75 is what I'm at right now.
So you're two away from me. You're right down the street.
Yeah, but you keep all going
on. All you got to do right now, I need sugar. Just walk down the hall. And give me some sugar.
All I said is that
you
I'm
got 75, I got 77.
All I said is that I'm going to say the same thing that Vegas said. And a couple of weeks ago, Las Vegas had the Royals at 72.5 wins. And you asked me how many they're going to win. I said 73. And I just checked. Now they got it at 74.5. So I said 75.
So Vegas is getting more and more. The public is getting more and more optimistic. So you're telling me tomorrow, if Vegas woke up and said that their over-under was 76, you take the over with me?
I'd take 76.
So you'd be standing right next to me.
Yeah.
Hope Harrison.
I believe in Las Vegas. I don't believe in Hope Harrison.
We're brothers. We're happy. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's not what you're saying.
Man, I wish the Royals could put Darwin Thompson on the team. We could get a little optimism from the sports machine over there. What happened to the Royals?
I am optimistic.
I kind of feel like what happened was one time you were a small sports machine. And then your favorite player was like Emil Brown or something. You went there early. Like, mommy, I want to go down there and have him throw me a ball. And then he went to go throw you the ball. And maybe you dropped it and some other kid took the ball from you. You're still harboring that resentment towards the Royals. I'm saying let it go. Get on the same page that I'm on.
That didn't happen.
Get on the same page as me. I'm on it. Rob's on it. The text line's on it. Everybody is optimistic and feeling good about the Royals, but you.
I'm optimistic. I'm feeling good. I'm just not lying to myself or the people listening. I think the Royals are going to be improved.
We got them winning two separate games. You got them at 75. I got them at 77.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You can check the tape.
You got them at 75, Sal. You got them winning 55.
My dude, you keep incrementally going up. Like, you were at 72 a couple of weeks ago, 75 last week, 77 today. By the time the season starts next week.
There's one to Cactus by, League.
Exactly. You're going to be at like, you're gonna be like 83. League. Rob, they're going to get off to a 5-1 start the first week. Karen's going to tell us they're going to win 90
I'm
games.
I'm doing what you did with KU.
They're going to be 8-2. He's going to tell us they're going to
beat Eastern Washington.
And
KU beat Eastern Washington. You had them going on a West Coast ass-kicking tour. That happened on this show.
I did say
you
that.
You had them beating USC, beating Oregon, and being competitive against Gonzaga.
I did say that.
All they did was beat Eastern Washington. That's all that happened. I'm sitting here telling you the Royals are going to win 77 games. I'm the bad guy. I'm the villain here on this show. What sense does that make?
I don't want to bring you down. I really don't. So
you're right there. That's the thing. I could see if you had them winning like 65.
I'm not moving,
though. You at 70. You're right. You next door to me.
You're moving, though. Like, you're pretty easy. Like, it's not going to take a whole lot to convince you. All it's like, if the Royals win their first couple of games, you're going to jump on here and tell us they're going to win
the
division.
They might win the World Series. You're telling me that they're going to get off to a good start?
Here's what's scary. And you guys can't see Karen's body language right now. Everybody's got this person in their life that they lie so often or they lie so frequently to themselves, or the rate of their lie is just at such a level that they start to believe it themselves. The dangerous thing is, I think that you're starting to believe what you're saying.
That they can win 77 games? Absolutely, I believe it. I'm 100% there.
Okay.
I'm right there.
I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. I bet I'm not. That's all I'm saying.
Someone said, start planning the Royals' funeral. Yeah, bro.
I'm not saying that
Sean,
either.
Why are you texting during the show?
I did not text that. You know I got 913 number. That's from the 816. I did not text that. I am not burying the Royals.
Text line has been very Debbie Downer today.
No, there's always this weird, like, if Sean's
KU
not—
KU gets smoked, the Chiefs get smoked, and y'all just negative.
If Sean says something nice and apologizes to Derek Carr, that means Sean loves Derek Carr. If Sean says the Royals aren't going
to
win 70— I did not write a letter. If
they didn't write a letter?
No. I did not write a letter.
Rob, text line. You're telling me you didn't write a letter to Derek Carr.
I started to write a letter. My cursive was no good, and I threw it away.
Let's do the next hit. I don't want to talk about this
I didn't
anymore.
Write a letter. I threw away the letter. I started to pen a letter. I threw it away.
You wrote a letter to that man.
I can't remember how to do cursive. I did it in third grade. And
you
never.
Like you harder on Adalberto Modesty than you are Derek Carr. Derek Carr ain't been good since 2014. Turner Gill was coaching KU the last time Derek Carr was cooking. He played good for a weekend.
Yes,
he got
Rob.
An apology.
Yes.
Our final hit today, speaking of the NFL and Derek Carr, there are rumors and reports they will be moving to 17 games this upcoming NFL season. My question to you, Hope Harrison, is this. Is the NFL actually better with 17 games as opposed to 16?
I don't think so, man. I really don't think so. I understand that there's more games to gamble. There's more games on television. And I'm here telling you that I'm the problem because I'm still going to be watching. But this doesn't make the league a better product. It doesn't make the league more enjoyable. It doesn't make the league more fun. It's just more. They're going to make more money. And that's all that this really does. If anything, it increases the injury risk for players. And it waters down the playoffs in the regular season. I don't think this is a good thing.
I bet you were the dude in college that was at the bar and a group of like smoking hot girls walked in. You're like, oh, there's too many hot girls here. We gotta go somewhere else. Like, to me, sometimes I know that sometimes in life you can get too much of a good thing. In this circumstance, that's not the case. There's not such thing as too much of a good thing in this scenario.
I know, like Royals wins. There's not too much of a good thing with the Kansas City Royals.
Keep saying it, you're going to start to believe it, and it's scaring me.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. I do want to play this for you. This is J.J. Piccolo. He was on the Midday Show, Cody and Gold, earlier today. Here's what he had to say about the Royals sending down Nicky Lopez.
Yeah, it is tough because, one, we know what Nicky's abilities are, and we know that he can help this team. And, you know, right now he's in a little bit of a funk offensively. He'd be the first one to tell you that. I can tell you that he's done some tremendous work over the last 2 days. In trying to recapture the feeling he had in the batter's box when he was going good. So mentally, he's in a good place. But when you have those conversations, they're never fun. I mean, it's certainly one we didn't expect coming into spring training. But we know Nicky well. We know how he's a fighter and a competitor. And Nicky will get his way back to the big leagues, and he's perfectly capable. And quite honestly, we need him to win ball games. You know, he's too good of a player. So he'll figure it out. He'll get back up, and he'll do a great job for us when the season's all said and done.
Very simple. The Royals are better because of this move. I wasn't sure they were going to do it. Maybe I'm wrong in not being sure, but I was reading Alec Lewis in The Athletic this week as you're starting to get ready for baseball season, and that was the first person to suggest that Nicky Lopez wasn't going to be on the team. And I was like, interesting. And then couple days later, they then make the move and they announce that he's not going to be here. One of your biggest concerns about the team, now they haven't fully addressed it because Michael A. Taylor is still going to be there, but you and I both aren't picking the Royals to make the playoffs. And for a team that has the talent or expectations of the Royals, they're certainly not going to be ironclad top to bottom. If we're saying right now their only real hole, and because we don't know about the other positions. Like, I'm not sure if Adalberto Mondesi is going to be a hole on this team. We got to see over the course of the year. Right now, I don't think that he's a hole. Certainly not in the way that I would say Michael A. Taylor is. But I'm more looking at it when you compare this 2021 opening day lineup for what they've had over the last 3-4 years, ever since the window ended. And this is by far and away the most competitive team that they've fielded. And we'll see what that means here over the next couple of weeks as they kind of get off to a start. And are they going to start in a way that the Royals normally start? Are they going to be able to tread water? Because last year in 2020, when we were kind of going through it and saying, hey, there's going to be one out of nowhere team that ends up doing something, but you got to tread water for the first 30 days to at least give yourself a chance. We'll know here in, 35 days, 36 days, are the Royals going to be able to tread water and be competitive, or have we just wasted our time for the last 6 weeks sort of building this team up and they're just not really going to be competitive? I think they're going to be able to tread water. I think there's more than enough offense. I also think, especially through the first 2-3 weeks of the season, they're only going to have to use a 4-man rotation. Their stronger pitchers are going to be pitching more frequently. I think they're going to be able to tread water for the first month and not dig themselves in that typical Royals hole that they normally do.
When you talk about the holes in the lineup, yeah, I mean, they've got one less today because at the bottom of the lineup, it looked like it was going to be Nicky Lopez, who's a career 200 hitter, or Michael A. Taylor, who's a career 200 hitter. If we're talking about overachieving, let's just call it what it is. You can't have two 200 hitters at the bottom of your lineup every single day. And I know that wasn't the long-term plan. That was going to be the plan at the beginning of the year. If you want to convince yourself, if you want to be glass half full, it's the same thing that I decided to do with the Chiefs. Like when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I said, oh, great. He's a perfect fit. Like they had their pick of any running back that they wanted. He can go out there and have 1,500, 1,700 total yards. Mecole Hardman went out there his rookie year, had 6 or 7 touchdowns, 600 yards. Heading in the next season, I was like, maybe he can have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. Wildly optimistic. A lot of people always text in when I talk smack on Sammy Watkins, but in the playoffs, he's so good. I feel like that's what we're kind of doing now with the Royals. We're trying to convince ourselves that if all these guys play up to their full capability, then the Royals are going to have a really good season. And I completely agree with that. The problem is, most of the time, that doesn't happen. That's the way that baseball is designed. It's a game of failure. If you go back to 2014, 2015, and you look at Hosmer's numbers, and Kane's numbers, and Moose's numbers, and your Donovan Turra's numbers, and the guys in the bullpen, almost all those guys had a career year that season. And that's what it took. So if all these guys that you're talking about play up to their capability and Mondesi actually plays 140 games and Benintendi actually hits 280 and Santana actually hits 40 home runs and so does Soler And instead of being the 230 career or 240 career hitter that Dozier is, he goes back to the 275 guy he was a couple of years ago. And Isbell shows out. That's just a lot of things that have to go right. And I think that a couple of those guys, it will. But the only guy that I can point to up and down this lineup and say for sure, I can tell you this guy's going to play at an all-star caliber level because he does that year in, year out, is the guy at the top of the lineup, Whit Merrifield. So I appreciate your optimism, Hope, and I hope to jump on board, and hopefully your bandwagon allows me to come on if the Royals get off to a hot start. I'm just pointing out that there are a lot of reasons, at least on paper, to look at this lineup and be optimistic, but there's also a lot of things you can point to. I mean, I can do it right now. Benintendi, why the Red Sox willing to part with him? Mondesi, have we ever really seen what we're talking about? Santana, coming off one of his worst seasons. Salvi, now he just got paid. Soler, I've seen him have 20 home run seasons. I've seen him have 50 home run seasons. Dozier, he's had one good year at the big league level. Isbell, never seen him. Michael A. Taylor, career 200 hitter. So you can play glass half full, and I appreciate that. I can play glass half empty. It's probably going to be somewhere in the middle.
I'll give you one stat of why I think you should be optimistic about the Royals more than you are. The Royals were 500 against every other team in baseball other than the White Sox. Now, I know you can't really take away those games, and those games happen, and that's a team in their division, and the White Sox could potentially be the most talented team in the American League. If you look at the Royals, they were a 500 team against every other team in baseball other than the White Sox. Now, they got smoked by the White Sox, and they were 1-9 in their 10 games against them, but they were 500 against every other team. Like, I think there's reasons to sell optimism with the Royals. I also think it's reasons to buy optimism with the Royals. This is by far and away the most talented team they've had since the windows ended.
Oh, by far.
This is, I would say, the most competitive that they've really talked about their team, the most optimism you've had from the pitching staff, and at least based on what you think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be here in the middle of the season. So, like, if everybody plays up to their expectation, you talk about how that doesn't happen. If everybody plays up to their expectation, they got a chance to finish over 500. Like, if let's say that things really click for Mondesi in a way that they've never clicked before, I think they got a chance to win like 82 or 83 games if that happens.
I totally agree with that. That's just asking a lot.
That's why I ain't got them winning 82 or 81 games. I got them winning 70.
That's asking every guy in the lineup to play up to their full capability, and we know that's not how baseball works.
I just got them right now as being a slightly below average team. A slightly below average team, 77 wins. That's not a season that they talk about anywhere outside of Kansas City, but you and I are different on what I think they need to accomplish this year. I think this year they just need to take a step forward. 77 wins would be a pretty marked step forward to me for the Kansas City Royals. Someone said, isn't CDOT supposed to be Debbie Downer? I don't know why you guys think that about me. I don't know why you guys think that about me. I ain't never Debbie Downer when it comes to anybody. I'd be out here telling y'all the truth. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll also talk about the three most important Royals as we get ready for the season. We'll also go inside the mind of the machine. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. The code word, bike, B-I-K-E, bike. B-I-K-E, text that word to 72881. The National Cash Contest code word 4530 is bike. B-I-K-E. Did you have a Huffy or were you a mongoose kid?
I had a Schwinn. Well, actually, I'm not going to lie. I got my sister's old bike, and it definitely had those little colorful things on the spokes that made all the noises. Mm-hmm. Took a lot of crap from the neighborhood kids. And then I got pegs on that bad boy, and then I was the man.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. We'll pocket our Royals conversation. We can talk about it tomorrow. We've got a really fun show planned for Wednesday. We'll tell you more about it tomorrow as we get closer and closer to opening day. Special thanks to Denny Matthews, friend of the show, for coming on the show earlier today. Also, Pete Sweeney was on the show. He is not a friend of the show. Before we go inside the mind of the machine, we got college basketball tonight. Rob, that sounds like a bet it or forget it.
Vegas has set the line. But is it worth the bet? It's time to bet it or forget it on the drive.
Really quickly, before we do bet it or forget it, whose idea was it to have college basketball games start at like 9:25 on weeknights? Like, this can't be bringing in the ratings.
An angel. I love it.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's a terrible idea.
I'd like a 2 a.m. tip-off. Whose idea was it to have these games on Monday and Tuesday and have the men's and women's games go on against each other? Like, I understand the women's games weren't going to draw a huge rating, but I'd be interested in watching Baylor-UConn tonight, but it's going on head-to-head against the men's games. I don't know why they did it like that.
Yeah. It's almost like Mark Emmert is horrible at his job.
They fixed the Final Four. The women's Final Four is on Friday and then Sunday. So, I mean, at some point, it's only so many days available. You know, the men's tournament takes up 4 days.
It's cool now that we get to go home and watch a couple of games that are going to send teams to the Final Four. Like, I'm not going to complain tonight and tomorrow night, but it kind of sucked on Thursday and Friday that it wasn't your typical second round of the NCAA tournament. Like, they need to go back to the way it was.
Yeah, no, and just there was that USC-Oregon game yesterday started at like 9:40. Like, I don't care that much. Like, I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. I watched the Tina Turner documentary. I'm like, I'll watch one of these two teams in the Elite Eight. I don't care that much.
I mean, Tina Turner's legs are Pac-12 basketball.
It was actually a really good documentary. If you guys haven't seen it, it's called Tina.
Speaking of Pac-12 basketball, the first game tonight is Houston -8 against the Beavs.
It's called Tina, huh?
It is.
What's the Britney one called?
What is it? Finding Britney Spears?
Oh, is her name
Free
in it?
Britney Spears.
What's the Tiger?
Oh, no. Framing.
What's the Tiger one called?
Tiger King.
Oh, wait, it's called Tiger King? Not the Tiger Woods one. It's called Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's called Tiger.
They're all very original. What was the game you asked me about, Rob? I wouldn't pay any attention.
Houston and Oregon State. Houston -8.
I'm playing the unders in that game. I don't think there's going to be a ton of points. It feels like Oregon State. I want to say they've come to the end of the line here, except
we've said that the last three games, and they keep finding a way to win.
And all these Pac-12 teams do. Like, I figure with UCLA, okay, now you're playing a real team in Alabama. You're going to get absolutely destroyed. And as you pointed out, like, once Alabama hit that shot to send the game into overtime, there's no reason UCLA didn't get absolutely destroyed. And the opposite happened. They ended up winning that game, but that's not what you asked me. I'll lay the 8. I think that Houston wins that game by probably like 10 or 11.
I got to go the same thing here. It's hard for me to pick against Houston in this game. I kind of do agree with you. I think the run eventually happens to Oregon State. I've been really impressed with Oregon State defensively. Like, from watching them off and on over their first three games of the NCAA tournament, and I watched basically the entire game against Loyola Chicago. I mean, they're super impressive defensively. I don't know if you can defend Houston with their tempo for 40 minutes the way that they did against Loyola Chicago. I'll pick Houston. I'll also take the points in this game. I do think they win this game comfortably.
According to Vegas, Houston has a better shot to cut down the nets and win the national championship than everybody except for Gonzaga. So take that for what you will. A great defensive team with a great coach in Kelvin Sampson.
The late game tonight features the one lone Big 12 team left, Baylor, laying 7.5 against Wupig, Arkansas.
I think this had the chance to be the game of the tournament. Just throwing that out there.
Well, you guys know that I took Wupig sweet all the way to the Final Four. If they win tonight, that means they made it all the way to the Final Four. Because I said that, I'll take Arkansas, but I don't feel great about it. Like, I remember heading into this tournament, Baylor didn't look like themselves. They had lost 2 of 4 games, including to Kansas, including to Oklahoma State. I figured they'd win a couple of games and then get knocked out, but they're starting to look like themselves. That second half that they played against Villanova was as good of a second half as anybody's played so far in this entire tournament. So, what's the line again? Baylor's how big of a favorite?
7.5.
I can't lay that many points. I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take Villanova and the points, but I do think Baylor's going to win this game. I agree with you 100%. I mean, Baylor was down 7 at half against Villanova and outscored Villanova by 18 in the second half of that game. They didn't even really play well. They didn't shoot the ball incredibly well. I mean, Baylor was 3 for 19 from 3, but Donovan Mitchell was fantastic in their game. I'll take Baylor. I'll take Villanova plus the points. I think the game's going to be close, but I'll take them. Davion Mitchell's his name. My apologies.
The early game tomorrow will feature 2 of the top 5 picks in the NBA draft as Jalen Suggs and Gonzaga take on Evan Mobley in USC. The Zags are laying 9 points against Southern Cal. Sean, who you got?
Arkansas, see that, not Villanova. It's Arkansas that Baylor's playing.
No, I'm saying against Villanova. They didn't shoot the ball very well. They were 3 for 19 from 3.
They did smoke them. What was the game you asked me about, Rob?
The Zags.
Oh, I told you about Gonzaga. Not that it was an original take, but I said that they were going to win the national championship. They were going to roll through the entire thing, and they were going to beat everybody by double digits. And Las Vegas tends to agree with me. Like, USC's been one of, if not the most eye-opening team in this entire tournament. They got a couple of NBA players. They got the second biggest team. I mean, they got a front line that's bigger than most NBA front lines. But against Gonzaga, they shoot too well. They score too well. And I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with them. I think Gonzaga is going to win this one by double digits and just keep on rolling in this tournament.
I'm going to take USC plus the points. I do think Gonzaga wins. I think USC is a really, really good defensive team. That their length. They also, I mean, Gonzaga hasn't gone up against a player the caliber that I think USC has in Evan Mobley. I think he's going to get his. It's going to be a good showcase of the freshman. I think USC is going to keep the game close and competitive. I think you have to take Gonzaga because Gonzaga has that ingredient that a lot of great basketball teams do where they can just go on a 6-minute run and a 6-minute stretch where I just don't know how you can really keep up with, especially if you can't really match them firepower for firepower. The only team I think realistically that can beat Baylor or Gonzaga left in this tournament is probably Baylor. They're one of the few teams that can really match them bucket for bucket. I'll take Gonzaga to win this game, but I think USC does cover.
I wish Evan Mobley was a little bit more aggressive. Like, he's a good college basketball player, but he's going to be great in the NBA with a little bit more spacing and his size and his skill set. He's going to be awesome. In college, he's good. I just want to shake him a little bit and be like, dude, you know that you're the best player on the court. Do a little bit more. USC is, I mean, it's funny that, 8 days ago, however long ago KU played, and that game was a pick 'em. KU can't beat USC.
I know a team that needs a center and just lost 2 in the NBA and could really use a guy of his athletic ability. Just saying. Final game of, I guess not the weekend, of the Tuesday in the Elite Eight will be Michigan. They are laying 7 points against UCLA.
You notice the line's getting bigger? Like, the first round games, you'd find a random matchup, like a 3-14, it's a 7-point line. And now you've got this game, it's on like a 7-7.5-point line. I think I'm going to take the points with UCLA. I was wildly impressed with them last night in overtime when they could have just folded up the tent. I think Mick Cronin's one of the more underrated coaches in all of college basketball, and the Pac-12's been so good. How am I going to bet against him? I think I'll take the points with the Bruins.
I'm taking the Bruins to win this game outright.
Really?
I really like how they've played in this tournament. I think they're going to win. I really like UCLA. And, I mean, it's just how the tournament works. At some point, you just got to take one of these dogs to win. The favorite's not going to win all 4 of these games. It's not really how the NCAA tournament works. I think the underdog that has the best chance to win, I was just really impressed with UCLA, their guard play, the skill level, and just their mental toughness. I really was impressed with UCLA watching them yesterday against Alabama. I'm going to take UCLA to win outright.
I like me some Bruin. I don't know if you consider them to be like a blue blood, but or Gonzaga. It's so weird that there's 8 teams left. Duke's not one of them. Kansas isn't one of them. Kentucky's not one of them. North Carolina's one of them. When's the last time that we talked about UCLA basketball being a threat? I mean, back when KU had to play them in the Final Four, maybe?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, that's the last time they made the Final
Four.
That's
a long time ago,
they had,
bro.
They had Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook.
Like, you're talking about 13 years ago is the last time that they're relevant. So I will say this. It's been a fun tournament, man. There have been a lot of good games, a lot of good comebacks, a lot of fun finishes, last-second shots, overtime. I think that it's been the best sporting event since COVID hit a year and a couple of months ago. The tournament has felt like the tournament's supposed to, in my opinion.
Rob, let's take a journey inside the mind of the machine.
One of those teams that made the NCAA tournament were the Cowboys of Oklahoma State. They extended their head coach. What's his first name, Mike?
That is him.
Mike Boynton for 7 more years today. Was that a good move?
I mean, I think you really had to. I mean, I'm not maybe as high on him as everybody else. I mean, unless he has more friends who their nieces and nephews are future NBA All-Stars, I wouldn't have maybe invested in that way. But he had a good season this year. Most universities would have rewarded him.
Oklahoma State's going to be trouble the next few years. It feels like the Big 12, a lot of programs are on the rise, and then there's, you know, the school that I went to. Who's the 49ers week one starting quarterback?
I believe him when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo. Unless Garoppolo gets injured, but I don't think they're going to trade Garoppolo. I think he's going to be their starter week one. Now, is he going to be their starter week 10? I don't know if we can say that just given his injury history, but I do think he's going to be their starter week one.
Who do you think they draft because they traded up for the number 3 overall pick?
Trey Lance. I think they're going to draft him.
We were talking about maybe a few months from now. How about 2 years from now? Which Witt is the better big league ball player? Whit Merrifield or a Bobby Witt, a junior? 2 seasons from now, so the 2023 season.
I mean, I'll take Whit Merrifield. Just haven't seen Witt play at this kind of level yet, and I'm just not sure where he's going to be. So, I mean, I'll take Whit Merrifield.
The oldest,
sight unseen.
The oldest living person is Kane Tanaka. How old do you think she is?
127.
$1 asked, Rob.
I mean, well, $1, but I kind of want to know, so I'm going to say 109.
We'll split the difference. 117.
Mm.
117 years old, Ms. Tanaka is.
What's your quality of life got to be if you're that old?
Great. Anything, really? Anything over 80 to me is like free money, icing on the cake. And she's 37 years past the icing on the cake.
I don't know if your quality of life is super, super high.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, I don't know what you do to celebrate your birthday after 100.
She's not super active.
No, I don't think that she's running marathons or anything like that.
I'm just saying, then, I mean, if you're that old, like, I'd be terrified that, like, I wouldn't wake up every time I go to sleep. Like, I'd be terrified.
I think she's probably gotten over that. I think probably as she got older, she was worried about that in her late 70s and 80s and 90s and early hundreds.
I just would think about it every day.
A couple of years ago after she turned 115, she stopped worrying about that, Ms. Tanaka. But anyway, she's...
have you had cookies with her or something? You're talking like that's your long-lost pinochle partner.
Yeah, this is my girl. You got a problem with
her? I didn't know you and her was playing backgammon. I didn't know.
According to the Google, she beat colon cancer at 103 years old.
Mm-hmm. And looked good doing it, too. For a 103-year-old, she's finer than a new set of snow tires.
She definitely thought she was going to die during that point.
And she didn't, and lived another 15 years. Keep talking you smack. So she's 117. Which number's bigger, her age or the Royals' win total this year, Hope?
Well, obviously her age.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm not out here calling them the 0-1 Mariners.
All right. Who are the Royals' all-stars this year? Because we know Hope's got multiple. There's no way they just have one.
I'll give them 2. Whit Merrifield and somebody in the bullpen.
Okay, all right. Oregon State, Houston.
You probably don't
tonight.
Have them having any. They're probably gonna be the first team to break baseball's rule. They're not gonna qualify for the All-Star game.
No, they'll have one. It's a rule. It'll probably be Salvi, actually, for being dead honest with ourselves. It's always Salvi. It will be Salvi.
If they get Salvi, then I think they're getting maybe 2 or 3.
They'll get Salvi and maybe somebody else. Oregon State, Houston, when we get off tonight, who's got the better mascot? Is it the Cougar or the Beaver? I like the Cougars and the Beavers.
The Cougar, I guess.
The Cougar. That's fair. Oh, you taking Gonzaga versus the Field, or are you still sticking with the Field, which is now, what, 7 other teams?
Yeah, I think you got to take Gonzaga now.
All right.
I think you got to take Gonzaga now. I I actually think USC matches up really well against them. I think Baylor does too, but that won't be to the national championship game. I mean, I just don't think there's like, I don't think there's many teams that can beat them that are left. Like, there aren't many teams that match up really well against them.
And that's why I liked them going into this tournament, and I thought they were going to crush everybody because they're running into the biggest team in the tournament with NBA players. The hottest team, maybe in college basketball in the last month. USC's only lost a game. And they're a 9.5-point underdog against Gonzaga. So I'm with you. Like, USC matches up well against them, but Gonzaga's just a – they're not an all-time great college basketball team, but compared to the rest of this field, they're so much better than everybody else. And that's kind of what I've been saying the whole time. Did you actually watch the UCLA-Alabama game?
I watched the whole thing.
Why in the hell would UCLA not foul at the end of that game and give Alabama the chance to send into overtime?
I mean, coaches are just on different sides when it comes to this. I don't really understand it. Like, I would always be on foul up three because to me it just makes the most sense and I would just play the averages. But, I mean, we watch enough of these games to know not every coach feels the exact same way that you and I feel about it. I mean, that same scenario has happened at least 8 times in this tournament.
Yeah.
And every coach just follows it very differently. Like, I would be – like a lot of people, and Missouri did this whenever they were playing Oklahoma. So they were going to let Missouri shoot, but once it got under 5, they then fouled. I would do it earlier in the shot clock, especially because you can't advance the ball to half court the same way you can in the NBA.
It's mind-boggling to me. Like, I understand what you're saying. A lot of coaches have the decision. They make the decision not to foul. My question is, why? Why?
I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
It's kind of like if you're tied 27-27 in a football game and there's no time left on the clock, you kick the extra point, right? You're not going to go for two. You're going to kick the extra point. Everybody does it. Why does everybody not foul? It's just mind-boggling. Over the last 3 years, who's been the more frustrating local athlete, Sammy Watkins or Adalberto Mondesi?
I mean, probably Adalberto Mondesi, just because, like, I've never thought that Sammy Watkins could be a star in Kansas City. I think that Adalberto Mondesi has a chance to be, or had a chance to be, a star player and just hasn't really done that and hasn't stayed healthy. So if I had to pick between those two, I'd pick Adalberto Mondesi.
Indiana Hoosiers basketball hired their next coach. They got former Knicks head coach, former Knicks assistant coach, Mike Woodson. Is Indiana college basketball a top 10, top 15 job still?
I'm going to say no. I think now with scholarships and ESPN, I think there's only really like 8 really good jobs. And then once you get out of that, I think they're largely interchangeable. And it really depends on like how you feel about their recruiting base, how you feel about their boosters, how you feel about their facilities. Like I think there's probably like 8 landing jobs. Like once you get those, you just don't leave because there's nowhere to go other than to one of those other jobs. Like if you're Bill Self, the next job you're taking is not another college job. You're taking an NBA job. Like even if you think Kentucky's better than Kansas, why would you leave Kansas? Like you're at a place that has almost the exact same advantages. So I think once you get outside of that top 10 or 12, there's really no difference between the programs.
Would you say Indiana basketball is kind of what Nebraska football has become? Where like at one point it was a top 5 job, but now it's just kind of a job?
Yeah, but I think the reasoning is probably a lot different than you. Like I think Nebraska just lost their ability to recruit nationally because college football just changed with scholarship limits. So I think that really changed the program. Indiana could be good again. Like I still think they're a name and a brand and they're one of Adidas's biggest schools and we kind of know how Adidas gets down like most of these shoe companies. So I don't think it's crazy to think that Indiana could be good again. You just got to hire the right coach. Like if they hired the right coach, the fan support's really high, they're high up on the Adidas priority list, they could be good again.
Would you say they're too legit to quit? Well, the reason I'm asking is because NC Hammer, it's his birthday today, turns 59. Who had a better prime back in the day, Hammer or Vanilla Ice?
Hammer, not even close. Yeah, Hammer, not even close between those two. Anybody's arguing Vanilla Ice?
I think Ice Ice Baby might have been a bigger song even than, what's Hammer's?
I don't think it was bigger than Too Legit to Quit. I don't think it was bigger.
Was Too Legit to Quit bigger than You Can't Touch This? Whenever I think Hammer, I think Can't Touch This.
I mean, I would say both of those songs are bigger than Ice Ice Baby.
Did you have Hammer pants back in the day?
No.
Why?
It's just a little. I was too young for all that.
I absolutely 1,000% had Hammer pants and still do.
You're older than me.
I don't get rid of those things either because I'm just waiting for them to come back. I got my Big Dog shirts. I got my Hypercolor shirts. I got my Mossimo shirts. What do you know about Stussy, C-Dot?
That's still around. Still popular.
No, it's not. Okay. I mean, it might still be around. No way it's popular.
Okay.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
I mean, when you told me that with Champion, I thought you were lying, and then I paid attention and saw that Champion apparently is cool again. Who knew?
It's almost like I keep up with pop culture more than you. When I say this, you should believe me.
But my grandpa's 93 years old, and he wears Champion, so I just thought you were wrong.
Well, Champion's really popular right now. Chance the Rapper started wearing it. That's how it got really big again.
So weird. NFL's going to go to 17 games. Good move, bad move?
Lateral move. I don't think it's a good move for the players. I think it's going to water down the product. I don't think the NFL's a better product because of this.
How surprised were you that Nicky Lopez got sent down to the minors?
I didn't really start thinking about it until I was reading this weekend and like really getting ready and reading some of the team previews. And Alec Lewis from the Athletic, he didn't have him on the opening day roster. And I was like, huh, interesting. I hadn't seen anybody else say that before.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that the Royals were going to make a mistake and put him in that eight hole and put him out there at second base. I'm with you. This is one of those moves that I'm not saying that they think they're going to win a ton of games this year, but they obviously think that they're going to start winning soon, so there's no point in putting Nicky Lopez out there. I like the kid. I also like the move.
We got a busy show planned these next couple of days as we get you ready for opening day. We appreciate you listening. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio, your home of the Kansas City Royals.